The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. On the line today, we have Nicole Law from Tales from the Loop. This is a very contemplative and kind of smartly paced science fiction drama from Amazon Prime. Nicole, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. So I guess my first question is, when I look at your IMDb, it looks like you're fairly new to television acting. Tell us a little bit about your journey, like, into acting, and specifically how you got involved with Tales from the Loop.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how I got involved in Tales from the Loop was I was actually in LA at the time on an internship for my school. And basically my agent saw this breakdown for Kira, which was the original name for May and Tales from the Loop. And she sent me an email and she was like, this is a fantastic project. Like, why don't you put yourself on tape and I'll send it in. So I was like, okay. I like read the email and there's a breakdown, which normally there is when your agent sends you an audition. And on the breakdown, actually, they normally tell you if there's like kissing scenes sometimes or like a sex scene or whatnot. And I saw that and I was actually possibly thinking of like passing on this audition because I was like, I'm not quite sure, like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then I called my boyfriend and we talked about it for a little bit, and in the end I kind of decided that like the project was worth it. Like, I thought it was a fantastic project and I was like, I should toss my name in the hat. Like, what are the odds that I'd actually book this? Well, thank God I did that, because I ended up booking it and it's been one of my favorite projects to date.
So Tales from the Loop is a very complicated show. Like, a lot of the, you know, storylines throughout the episodes loop back on themselves and time doesn't necessarily track. Like, specifically your episode, you know, where you feature like the time stoppage machine, you know, there's a passage of time that could be months, could be weeks. You know, we don't really fully know. Are there times where you really had to pick apart the script in order to make sure that you were portraying like things correctly, you know, in scenes? Because I know it wasn't necessarily shot in sequence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's really helpful for me is that my process as an actor, and whenever I go into any scene, I kind of pick apart like every scene. I'm like, who am I talking to? Like, what's the relationship? Like, what do I want from them today? Like, I pick apart a script, like, typically, like, for an audition or, like, a project all the time. What I was very lucky to have was a great director. Her name's Dervla. She was the director of episode 3. And she basically did a lot of rehearsals and read-throughs with us. So on the weekends or after, like, a day at work, she'd be like, hey, like, come into... let's meet with Danny and let's just read through the script. Let's talk about it. What are your thoughts? Here are my thoughts. So I was very lucky because it was very collaborative. Also, Nathaniel, our showrunner, he was on set every day, which is, I've never heard of it. I've never worked with anyone who's been on set like as a showrunner every day and has like written all 8 episodes. So sometimes I would like read the script and I'd have a random question, kind of like, oh, do we age in this frozen world, or do we also stop aging? Like, I'd ask him these random questions that like sometimes have to do with like how I portray the characters, and other times just out of pure curiosity. And he'd be like, he'd think about it and then he'd be like, yeah, they do. Like, he knows everything about the show. Like, I love picking his brain. Like, I could not explain his talent. Like, I just wouldn't do it justice. Like, he is an absolute genius.
I have to be 100% honest with you. That is one of the first things I thought of when you guys were stopped in time. I was like, you know, oh, clearly time is passing. Like, are they going to get older? Are we going to watch them go into middle age in like this time stoppage? It's such an inventive and open-ended show that literally anything could happen in it, which has got to be really exciting to be a part of as an actor.
Yeah, it is. And also, like, the fact that he had an answer, or the fact that he, like, paused, thought about it, and then came up with an answer for me, I was, like, starstruck. I was like, this is like, I was so invested. Like, as the actor, I was like, what happens to May? Like, how long do they spend here? And he's like, months. I think in wardrobe too, it was crazy. Joseph, another, like, I've worked with so many talented people on the set, but like Joseph, I spent so much time with him. He was our costume. And basically I think I had like 16 wardrobe changes in this episode originally. So like I was in there for like fittings for 3 hours. It was crazy.
It's really interesting how much attention to detail. Like, I probably would not have ever thought to think about indicating the passage of time through wardrobe changes. And I didn't notice it as I was watching the show, but now I want to go back and watch it again to watch that transition happen. It's super, super fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's actually also really interesting because I was talking to my best friend about this the other day, and I didn't want to spoil anything in the show. So I was like, watch all 8 episodes and then we'll talk about it. But what we both came to a conclusion on was the fact that, like, you could watch Tales from the Loop several times and not make certain connections. Like, I remember shooting episode 3, and I think there's a line that, like, Danny, who plays Ethan, says. He's like, aliens sent from a parallel universe or whatnot. And he was referring to Gaddis in episode 6. So I was talking to one of the ADs when I came back for episode 6, and they're like, did you realize that Ethan, like, hinted towards episode 6? And I was like, no, really? And then I like went back and I was like, oh my God, like everything ties together. So what was really interesting is that I was talking to my best friend about it, and she started picking up on like little like connections throughout different episodes. And I thought that was really cool because you could make several discoveries like every time you watch the show, if you like repeat and watch it again.
Oh man. It opens up like a whole new understanding, I think, of the season. The pacing of Tales from the Loop is very contemplative and measured. There's a lot of like silence and pregnant pauses, or like usage of like very soft music to like move through the scene. As an actor, how do you approach something that's like so different from pretty much anything else that's on TV? You know, there's not fast paced dialogue. There's not always a lot going on. Sometimes it's just a moment of, in your main episode, very specifically when you're fishing, you know, it's just you quietly fishing by the lake until you notice what we have been calling the thermos in the lake. And then you quietly get it, you look at it, you put it in the thing, and then you just go back to fishing. Like, there's no words. It's just a quiet scene. Like, how do you approach that, you know, when everything else seems so much different?
Honestly, I think I just really focus on like who I'm in the scene with, if there's another person in the scene, or like what I was supposed to be doing. Like, if it was fishing, I was very lucky. Like, we had a beautiful like backdrop. We were like on location. It was absolutely like stunning. So it was just genuinely enjoying. Like, I actually never fished before until that day. So we had someone teach me how to fish. So I was like just really like actually just doing the action, like genuinely fishing. Also, I think what was very interesting about the series is that, much like life, a lot can happen during silences. And I think what was important for this series was that silence wasn't just silence. Like, you either read someone else's body language, or like you're thinking about a million things in your head. I think what was really different for me for this show is that most scenes and most moments like required active listening, because there was limited dialogue in the whole series.
Is it easier or more difficult to approach a scene when there's no dialogue to the scene?
Oh, this is a tough question. I think it depends. I think it really depends on the project, depends on the scene. It depends on like the strengths of an actor. Like if you're really great at comedy, like you would tend to think that comedy is easier than drama. So I feel like it's the same thing. I think one of the most difficult scenes for me, it didn't actually make it into the final cut of the episode, was I'm terrified of bugs. And in the original script, there was a scene where I, because May is so curious, a bug starts crawling on her leg. And then she pushes it onto her hand, brings it up to frame, brings it up to her face, and like starts looking at it and like studying this bug. And then she puts it down on the ground like gently, and like she's not afraid of bugs, but like I'm terrified. So like, I think it just depends on like personal like preference, personal like strengths and weaknesses. But like that scene, I like met the bug guy, and the bug guy was like, just whatever you do, please don't toss the bug. And I was like, okay. And he's like, are you ready? And I'm like, no, I just need like just a couple more minutes. And it was terrifying for me because they had to put the bug on my leg while I was looking somewhere else. So it wasn't even like you're getting a needle and you're like, okay, like I can see when it's going to like, you know, be on my leg. It's like, nope, I have no idea. It's just going to start crawling. And I remember like wanting to perfect that take in one take so we didn't have to do it again. but I think it just really depends on like personal like strengths and weaknesses.
That sounds horrible. I hate bugs too.
Oh, I know. I still like, I like scream for my dad every time there's like an ant in the kitchen. I'm like,
it sounds like my oldest screams, that we should burn the house down every time she sees a spider, and she's like 18. So, or 17. So,
oh, I know. They're terrible. They're so scary.
So, you had mentioned like being on location, and one thing that is probably the most visually captivating thing about the entire series, it is when things transition from indoors to outdoors. There's this like very claustrophobic sense to like all the houses and all the spaces. Like your workroom seems really cramped in the episode when you're working on the thermos. But then everything that's outside, the trees are all huge, the forest seems immense, the lake you're fishing at is big, you know, the sky is always open. Like, was there an intentionality? Did you feel there was an intentionality to show the difference between, like, the openness of the natural world and the closedness of the technological world?
I mean, I can guess. I feel like most of the series talks about an item that like a character finds outside in the world. There wasn't like, there's like, it always starts off with like, oh, this is hard. Ooh, you stumped me. Ooh. oh no. I think what's interesting about, oh no, I don't know. You stumped me.
That's
I had a train of thought, and then it just, like, left my head.
That's okay. Okay, so let me rephrase it a little bit then. How do you feel, like, about the difference between acting within, like, the confined spaces versus acting, like, out in those big open spaces? Like, is there a different energy? Is there, like, a different way that you feel your scene, you know, unfolds because of the difference in where you're acting?
Yeah, I do. I mean, both sets are designed by people on set. Like they everything is placed there for a reason. So I think that makes your job a whole lot easier. I think when you're auditioning, typically it's just like a cloth behind you, a light, and like a camera. So there's not much helping you out. I think being on location, it really helps because you're there. Like if you need to pretend like you're eating an apple in an audition, you're not actually going to eat an apple. But on set, like you're actually eating an apple, you're actually in that cafeteria, you're actually acting with the people who are cast in those roles. I think it really helps. That being said, I think the difference in outdoor and indoor is that indoor, typically, it's easier shooting because we can control most of the factors. What was really hard, also one of the the questions that the challenges that we had in episode 3 was we were like, is there wind in this frozen world? Does wind also stop? The answer is no, because you can see my hair blowing in like episode 3, but it was because we couldn't control it too. Like, how would you freeze hair? Like they had to digitally paint every leaf in episode 3 in the outdoor sequences to have them frozen. So I think it's just like external and internal factors and whether you can like control them.
So Tales from the Loop is a script that's written as it was inspired by art, as opposed to a book or a comic book or anything like that. Were you able to look at any of Simon's art and like pull inspiration from it to inform your role?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I typically like looking at source material, like even during the audition, because I'm like, it can inform me about like the genre of the show. Like it always helps. So I actually looked up the book online for my audition. But then the minute I booked it, I bought the book because I was like, I want to be the most prepared I can possibly be. So I think it really helped like tonally. It also helped me with like understanding the anthology of like the book and the series. It helped with like never questioning the sci-fi nature of the show, because in the book, I think each story focuses on a different person. And on top of that, there were just these quiet stories about these kids in this town that just found objects, like found weird looking objects all around. And it was very interesting because there was this inherent curiosity in the book that is also inherent in May. So then I think I pulled the curious nature from the book into my character.
That's cool. You know, Tales from the Loop is science fiction, you know, as you just mentioned, but it's more about the drama of like human connections and relationships. When you describe the show to people, you know, when you really want to like intimate to them, like how you feel about the show, like how do you explain it?
I guess I would explain it that it's not really a show with any answers. What I found really real about the show was its depiction of relationships like love and loss specifically. With episode 3, like Stasis, I thought it was very intriguing that May and Ethan didn't end up together. You know, I think more often than not in television shows, the couple that you want to be together typically ends up together at the end. So I thought that was like something unique. On top of that, like it was much like life. Like there's a lot of things that are left unspoken. Like how many times like have we had miscommunications with like a significant other that led to a breakup, you know? Or it's a love story that's not really like who's right, who's wrong. Like there's shades of gray. Like May wasn't perfect, neither was Ethan. Like they both made mistakes. And it's just not black and white. And then with Lost, in Echosphere, the death of Russ was really tragic and really sad and heartbreaking. But I think what was very interesting about the story is that they presented it very early on as, hey, he's going to die. It wasn't for shock value. It wasn't used as a trope. Instead, the episode really focused on the experience and the journey of like the family while knowing that like the grandfather was going to die. Like, how do you cope with that? And I think that's what really touched viewers. At least it touched me as a viewer personally, is that the exploration of these themes, like these imperfections in people and relationships.
So with the situation that like the world is in right now, with so many people stuck at home or, you know, just, you know, with their families and that's it, you know, you just get to spend time with like those two or three people that you're really close to. Do you think the episode 3 has like an even more poignant tone? Because here's these two people that have like chosen to step out of isolation. It kind of broke them apart.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think the danger of what happened with episode 3 was that you really wanted to make a moment last. Like I felt this way with Seth. Like I felt like it was a moment that I never really wanted it to end. but I've come to realize that more and more now, that life has to go on. It has to go on for you to grow. I think with the situation right now and COVID, I think it's terrible and it's also great, because you get to spend time with people that you love, and it's not off of like your action or my action. Like, we didn't force this to happen. It's just something that we all have to go through, and it's something that we're all coping with. And I think so long as you didn't force the situation to happen, like May did with like Ethan, like sometimes like spending quality time with the people you love is a great thing.
Do you find it exciting to like be able to work on a show that is so like intentionally mentally challenging and thought provoking?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think television nowadays is very like fast paced and there's like a lot of edits. So what I was really excited about was that the show encouraged actors to like take time, and there was like very long shots. And I think also what excited me about the show was when I first read the script and met with our director, I told her that I've never loved anything more and that I just wanted to do it justice. And what's very exciting, like what could be more exciting than working on something that you're just so passionate about? Also, like, I thought it was really cool that everything was connected. So like just reading the scripts just blew my mind every time, which was also very exciting.
It's a fascinating watch, like the way everything unfolds, the way things are subtly connected as opposed to being like a very linear story. You know, like you said, it lends itself to like rewatches, which is really kind of rare. Do you find that there's people that are already, you know, reaching out to you asking for like, you know, does this mean this? Was this connected to that? Are you getting those kind of like, you know, fanboy conspiracy theories already? Or
I haven't gotten conspiracy theories. I've gotten like questions. I've gotten like, wait, so the robot in episode 1, was that Jacob already? And I was like, no, it's not Jacob, because it happens linearly. But I think it's very interesting when people are so invested in a show that they're like, wait, how does this happen? Or like, what's the mechanics of this? And then even on Reddit, like sometimes I go on Reddit and like, I like read some of the posts and people are like arguing and bantering about it. I think that's very exciting, because it's like people actually just like the show enough to go online and talk about it.
I think it's fun. Like, it's fun to speculate. Like, there's so many unanswered questions about what is going on in the town, what's going on with the people. Like, it leans itself to people being able to just make wild speculations. You know, before we started the interview, I asked if there was anything, you know, that you wanted to promote besides Tales from the Loop, and you had said no. And the last few actors that we've talked to, you know, they've all said the same thing, because nobody is working on anything right now. But, you know, is there a way that our fans can, you know, follow you and like see what you're going to be working on next once we do get through this and start producing those kinds of forms of entertainment again?
Yeah, absolutely. I really only use Instagram. So my Instagram account, like that, is Nicole Law 2.
There was already a Nicole Law.
Yeah, there was already a Nicole Law. I think my like Twitter or something else, I don't use it, but I'm like, there's just too many numbers, like,
yeah.
Damn it, my name's just not original.
Oops. Oh, that's okay. I've definitely seen that all, you know, all sorts of times with actors that have like underscore their name, or like, you know, their name underscore their last name, like so many people with normal names.
Well, Nicole, I know. I want like a unique name, you know, something that like my best friend's name is so unique that it's just like first name, last name. And you're like, damn it.
That's why you got to do something like name yourself Prince.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. No one will ever forget it if you're Madonna. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate, you know, having you on to chat with us about Tales from the Loop. It's a really good show. Like, it's, you know, I'm not going to lie. I love stuff like Dark Mirror and Twilight Zone. And this kind of fits into that realm without being quite as like harsh and intense as Dark Mirror can be sometimes. But thank you so much for spending some time with us. And when you do have another project, we'd love to chat with you about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.